And we're back for the 242nd time, believe it or not. Parish of the Patriots, I'm glad you're here. Most of y'all, I'm sure, return members of the congregation, which means you're getting something out of it. I really do appreciate it. If you do happen to be new, I'm glad you're here. I hope you'll be back next week. I hope you find this whole discussion that we have interesting. If you are new, we do have a Christian specific segment, and that's kind of the point of the show. And that's roughly at the halfway mark of the show, pretty roughly. Sometimes it's one way or the other a lot, but more or less at the halfway point of the show, we do have a Christian specific segment, a sermon, if you would. You're not going to want to miss it. Even if you think you're not into that sort of stuff, give it at least a listen. Even if you're like, even if you, you know, have rejected all of that completely, give it a listen. I think you'll find it entertaining. If nothing else, I think you will find it entertaining. I do. I hear sometimes from non-believers who tell me, I really don't believe in any of that, but I listen because it's entertaining. Hey, listen, what are you afraid of? Now, but if you're 100% complete atheist spurg, then you've been warned. So don't be like, oh, like, I hate that whole part. You know, I told you, you can just not listen to it. I really don't care. Not really. If you do get something out of the show, I pass the plate around. I don't spend a lot of time on it. But I do. If you get something out of it, it means a lot to me. I just pass the plate around. If you do want to be a part of that, look on my description page right here on Radio Albion for the show. You'll see I got snail mail, Bitcoin, Monero. Got my email address. You can drop your note there. If you got a different cryptocurrency, drop me a note for that. I can get you an address for that. I'm not proud. I'll take your altcoins. I'll take your altcoins. But it's all right there. Right there. And I mentioned this last week. I'm going to mention it again because I did recently get pointed out that there was some confusion from somebody. If you go further down, there's a deal that says we can now accept donations at this Bitcoin address. That is a deal that Sven had set up before he went away for Radio Albion. You know, that's not for mine specifically. Stay up there where my description is. Pretty easy to follow along. If you do, if you have put there, don't worry about it. When he gets out, he can get to that. I don't have access to that. Dr. Johnson doesn't, you know, it's not disappearing. It'll be there for Sven when he gets out. It's not a bad thing. It's one of the reasons I've left it there. I haven't tried to take it down. I'm not trying to cut Sven out, but I do. I have, like I say, I recently had to point out somebody was confused. You know, what is, you know, what is what. So I thought I'd take a couple of times last week and this week. It was probably the last time I mentioned it to point that out so that there isn't any confusion. But anyway, if you do get something out of it, I do appreciate it. With that having been said, listener, supporter, mailbag time. GPD, here's some coin for the October offering plate. What a crazy month and news cycle. My big generalized takeaway is given that the Marines are running ads with fit young white men. Well, we know exactly where this is headed. It's good to see the usual media personalities showing their true colors. It's also nice to see so many real people questioning why we should fight for Israel beyond changing our Facebook profile pic to a star like they've done with every other new thing. Thanks as always for the shows, the insights, and occasionally a place to send thoughts to. It always helps. And that's from Drew. I appreciate it, Drew. And you know, you really touch on some stuff I actually was going to go ahead and discuss further along the show. You know, y'all may see this show may be so professional. Y'all may think I have everything organized. I don't. I should have put this question. I just have all my listener supporter mailbag sitting there and I just grab what's on the top. It is amazing. I was thinking about this though. And you've got everybody's witnessing now, like every government in the West, from Britain, the US, of course, and all these governments in Western Europe falling all over themselves to proclaim their undenying, unwavering support of Israel. It's a real clown show here in the U.S. because you've got politicians from both parties falling all over each other. You know, who stands with Israel more? I expect there's going to be like a bidding war in Congress on who's going to one-up the other. Oh, I'm going to send $10 billion to Israel. Oh, no. No, I'm sending $20 billion. 10 is just a paltry amount. 50, I've got $50 billion for Israel. They're all falling over each other. Who's going to support Israel more? It really puts on the charade. I was thinking about it, though. You know, they still, are we now officially, can we officially now be beyond the point to where saying that, oh, lobbies such as AIPAC or whatnot have like a overrepresented, shall we say, in influence over the government and the politicians. Can we now officially move beyond that being an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory slash canard slash trope? Real question here. No, I mean, real question. How are you going to sit here and say, if somebody comes out and says, well, I think these people have, you know, for their percentage of the population, I think they have a little undue influence over the government. How are you, on the one hand, going to denounce those people as anti-Semitic conspiracy theorists? And then on the other hand, you've got literally every politician maybe there's one, I don't know of them. You've got every politician from both parties throwing themselves down. Who's going to support Israel more? Who's going to give Israel more money? I one of them come out and said that we would stand with Israel as long as the U.S., until the day the U.S. ceases to exist. Meaning Israel is as important as America itself. But if you say, hey, it seems like these folks have a whole lot of influence on the government, that's anti-Semitic conspiracy. I mean, can we move beyond that? You know, can we move beyond? I mean, at least acknowledge it. Make the case that that's not a bad thing. I mean, just make that case. But I think it's silly at this point to make the claim that it doesn't exist because they're demonstrating it. They're demonstrating it. It's silly to try to say, oh, well, that's crazy talk. There's no way Israel's wagging the dog at the U.S. I mean, that's silly. Just say, okay, well, yeah, it's true, but this is not a bad thing because, and make your case. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. Really don't make the case for it. Hell, let's hear it. I think it's ridiculous to sit here and say, oh, no, they don't. You're just being a hater to point this obvious thing out that you can see by the reaction. Well, I mean, for sure, if nothing else, we are continuing to see things escalate. It doesn't say, I mean, like Russia and China seem like they're doing everything they can to de-escalate the situation. I mean, you may not agree with everything those countries are doing, but I mean, really, I mean, they do seem like the most reasonable players on the stage right now. And the U.S., it's just like this whole situation as a whole is continuing. This is an escalation any way you cut it on the world stage. It's an escalation, more conflict. We're seeing more and more conflict in the world, not less and less. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing because regardless, I mean, I always say this, and I repeat it to the point y'all are probably sick of hearing it, but really, I mean, it bears repeating that it's always the regular, normal people going about their lives that suffer. Life, wars, conflict, these are not Hollywood movies. You know, regular, normal people are always the ones that suffer on both sides of any conflict. So I always hate when people try to, I'm going to preach again, not literally, but I do. I hate it when people dehumanize some, you know, one side or the other, you know, oh, you know, Ukrainian, like the Ukrainian thing, you know, if you think Ukraine is in the right and Russia's in the wrong, then all these Russians are just orcs or something. No, they're people. You know, they're people. And same the other direction. You know, the Ukrainian people are suffering for the con. Zelensky ain't suffering. He's packing suitcases full of billions of dollars. He's rich. When it all falls apart, he's going to fly off somewhere. It's the regular people that suffer. And people want it to be simple. It's not. It always comes down to regular people suffering. Yeah, I mean, and this idea that they're going to somehow recruit people. I was talking to somebody about this the other day, about the recruiting shortfalls they're having here in the U.S. They can't get anybody, you know, can't get anybody to join the military. They keep coming up short, trying to recruit. And the truth of the matter is one of their main pools they have always been able to recruit out of, one of their main pools has been poorer, working class, white people predominantly from rural areas, predominantly from the South. And this very same government now has spent years crapping all over those very same people, demonizing them, dehumanizing them, saying that they're the potential enemy. They're the domestic, future domestic terrorists, even lumping veterans into that. And now they're turning around like, we just don't understand why we can't get anybody to join our team. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? You know, crapping all over somebody, insulting them, calling them an enemy of the state, and telling them they're backwards and stupid and ignorant, and they're the reason for, they're the whole cause of racism and all the wrongs in the world, and you just can't understand why they don't want to put their lives on the line. Why don't you want to put your life on the line for America? I don't know. I doubt it. I heard one interesting theory. Somebody floated out there a while back. I don't even remember where I heard this. The theory was one of the reasons they're letting all of these people in through the southern border is because if push comes to shove, they're going to tell those people, we'll give you citizenship if you sign up for the military. And that's going to be their new pool. I don't know if it's true. I mean, I guess it's possible. I kind of doubt that's going to work. You show up somewhere. You know, when they like, oh, here's some free stuff. Here's some free stuff. We're going to give you free health care. Biden's wanting to give these people, like, I don't know, thousands of dollars a month in free health care. The rest of us can't really get that. You know, and but then you're going to turn around and then say, but we even give you citizenship. But you got to join the military. I don't know. Maybe that is part of it. Who knows? I do got another listener supporter mailbag. Let's keep going. Dear GPD, I don't know how you do it, but whenever I listen to the Christian message, you say something that's exactly what I needed to hear. Our God works in mysterious ways. My ties to the Parish of the Patriots. The first time I didn't feel like my dollar in the plate wasn't going to the choir row budget or something like that. Blessings in Christ, Tom. I appreciate it. It really does. When I say it means a lot, I mean it means a lot in more ways than y'all know. It's a blessing for me to hear from y'all. I really do appreciate it. It is why I do the show. It is. I enjoy the whole show. I enjoy all our discussions that we have here. But that's the reason. Like, if for some reason I could no longer do the Christian specific segment, I'm just retiring because that's a whole point. That's the point of why I'm here. But I put effort into all of it. I'm not phoning in the first part of the show. It may seem like it, but I'm not. Joe Biden came out and did a speech the other day. Did y'all listen to it? I didn't. I didn't watch any of that crap because I already knew what it was going to be. You know, we've got to stand with Israel and the Ukraine and whatever the hell else. Even though nobody seems, well, I mean, people are, but of course you never see it loudly, obviously, in the public. This is another case of censorship combined with the fact that we don't have an actual functioning media. We don't have a free press. We have a press that just goes along with that whatever press releases. Now, there's individual people. We're hearing these stories where, like, I think the BBC over in Britain is embroiled in a thing and they're firing or suspending, you know, reporters for not standing with Israel enough. It's really weird because I'm reading these articles and like in Britain, like if you say anything that can be construed as like in any way supportive of Hamas, you can get arrested for like supporting terrorism or something. I don't understand. It's all crazy. But they get you to, nobody in the mainstream, they don't publicly, we're not supposed to, I'll spit it out here in a minute. You notice how we're not supposed to question the premise. We're supposed to accept the very premise that Israel is our problem, that the Ukraine is our problem, that Taiwan is our problem. Keep going back through time. Vietnam is our problem. Afghanistan is our problem. Grenada is our problem. Iraq is our problem. Iran is our problem, and on and on and on. We're supposed to accept the premise that this is somehow our problem. I mean, I'm looking at this thing and it looks like Israel fixing to step off in a pretty sticky situation, but it's not really our problem. Not trying to be cold, not trying to be mean. You know, if you were out somewhere and a couple drunks fell out, you stepped out of a bar and they standing there circling each other with knives, you wouldn't go get in the middle of it. You'd be like, man, these boys fixing, somebody's fixing to have a bad night. Maybe both these people fixing to have a bad night, but you're not going to go get in the middle of it. Why? Because you're going to go, well, it ain't my problem. The guy always comes out on the short end of the sticks, the one that goes and tries to break up a fight that's none of his damn business. How many times I've heard that story, you know, you read a news story, a local news story, and there was a fight Saturday night at the, I don't know, you know, the Dewdrop Inn or whatever, and one man was stabbed fatally. And then you read the story and it winds up there's two other dudes in a fight, and this idiot got in the middle of it and tried to break it up and got stabbed by everybody, and he's dead now. Guy getting into stuff that's none of his business, it's always the one that comes out. They want you to accept the premise that all these things are our problem. A few people have remarked that it's like, Israel's not America. Why is, you know, it's not like they've attacked Hawaii or Texas or Alaska. It's not a part of the U.S., but you wouldn't know that to listen to these politicians talk about it. They always do. They want you to go on. This is why conservatives lose, because, of course, it's meant to be that way, because, you know, the two-party system is a joke. It's one party. This is all just theater. But, you know, the conservative argument is always winds up, they accept the premise that the left puts out, and then they argue within the confines of that premise, and they wonder why they always lose, because they never stand up and say, no, that's bullshit. You see this on all these topics. Climate change is a great example of that. They accept the premise of climate change. I don't care how hardcore Republican, boy, this Republican congressman, now he's talking about what I'm thinking. He's one of the good ones. You ain't going to hear him come out and say climate change is a hoax. And yeah, I'm not going to vote for anything relating to climate change because it's a lie. It's a hoax. They always accept the premise. They accept the premise of the left, and they always make their arguments within the confines of that narrative. And they always lose because they won't step outside and say, well, no, I'm not going to argue which regulation we need for climate change. Climate change is a lie. It's a hoax. It's stupid. You can sit there and hand wave and appeal to credentialism about the experts, say all you want to. It's not going to change the fact that a lie is a lie. A lie is a lie if you hear it from your local bartender, the guy driving the trash truck, or somebody in a white coat with a PhD, or some slick-talking politician in a suit and tie. A lie is a lie. It doesn't matter who it comes from. Don't accept the premise. They always do. The part of the political theater is they accept the premise. The left makes a premise. Climate change. We're destroying the planet. We're causing the weather to go zonkers. It's going berserk because we just have too much freedom and money or something. Even though we're having less and less of that, you would think you'd see it on a scale. We're getting less every day. We got less freedom. We got less money. You think you would see the weather start to kind of chill out, but it doesn't. How much do we got to give? More, more, more. We haven't given enough. The climate god is still not happy. You haven't sacrificed enough virgins. Cut their hearts out and throw them off the temple altar. The climate gods are angry. It's because that's what it basically comes down to. They're arguing that you're too happy. You have too much prosperity, and the climate gods are angry at you. That's why the weather is doing what it's basically always done. Look at this. Shocking photos of a tornado. Tornadoes have always been shocking. Trust me. But now the men in the white coats and the suit and tie politicians are telling you that no, the climate gods are angry. But the theater, they always accept the premise. We just don't want to go that far. One of the most absurd things about the climate change is this notion that carbon dioxide is a pollutant now. With microplastics floating around in our body, you know, we got real environmental stuff that could be addressed, but no, carbon dioxide, which is, of course, I shouldn't have to point out, but the education system being what it is, I better go ahead and point it out, just to be clear, is the very thing that plants breathe. Plants do not crave Brondo. Believe it or not, they don't crave Brondo. It doesn't have what plants crave. Plants crave carbon dioxide. The very thing that now they're saying is a pollutant. We need less of it so we can starve the plants to death. They'll sit there on the one hand and say deforestation is a problem, which I agree. You know, we want to keep green. Look, I don't want the world under a bed of concrete. They'll say that's a problem. Something like deforestation is a problem. Okay, let's talk about that. But then on the other hand, they say we need to We need to basically put our hands around the throats of the plants and choke them to death because they got too much carbon dioxide to breathe. Maybe the forest would grow back faster if they have enough to breathe. Don't cut the tree down. Choke it to death. This is like saying, you know, don't shoot somebody, but it's okay if you put a plastic bag over their head and strangle them that way, asphyxiate them by not giving them anything to breathe. It's absurd. And yet, time and again, in the political theater here in the U.S., they accept the premise. It's always the argument, the debate, as it were, is always within the framework. It's always within the framework of the left, the premise of the left. Climate change is real. Okay, now we're going to argue within that framework. You know, should we force everybody into an electric car in 5 years or 10? Let's see. Should we give $20 billion to Israel or $100 billion to Israel? Is it not our freaking problem? That's outside of the framework. You gotta accept the premise that all of these things are our problem. Honestly, the world would be a much better place if the U.S. predictably behaved that way. You know? I mean, really, if the U.S. would go around and, like, you know, when something like this flared up, like this latest thing with Israel, if they looked at the Israelis and were like, man, looks like you've stepped in a mess. Well, it's not my problem, but good luck with that. No, we're not sending you $10 billion. You're demanding $10 billion, and it's like everybody knows they're going to get it. They were pushing forward $100 billion. $100 billion. And it's going to bend Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and border security. And trust me, I've been around long enough that money never shows up for border security. That never happens. They throw that in there so that when the theater is over, the Republicans can go back and say, I voted for $5 billion for border security. Yeah, as a part of a $100 billion package. It all went to Israel and the Ukraine. Theater. So just they're making a big deal about this theater. All the Republicans trying to do a speaker that I don't care. It's just theater. It's not even entertaining theater. Border security. You're not going to see no money for no border security. But I guarantee Israel going to get their billions. I can make a prediction with 100% certainty of who's going to get what. Instead of just saying it's not our problem, if the U.S. had a track record of saying it's not our problem, the world would be more peaceful. Now, they lie to you and they tell you it's the opposite. They say, no, the U.S. is stabilizing, but the track record is not that. The track record is one of everywhere the U.S., I mean, we're having more conflict. I said earlier, this is everything on the global stage is escalating. And a large part of that is because the U.S. will not go, it's not our problem. No, seriously, if the U.S., let's stick with the Israel thing here for now. If the U.S. had a track record of saying it's not our problem, Israel would not be in the mess that it is in today. I'll say it again. Part of the mess that Israel is in is because they're making decisions. The government of Israel is making decisions based on the fact that they know the U.S. isn't going to say, not our problem. And of course, there's no chance they're going to do that now. But if they did have a track record of saying it's not our problem, then the government of Israel might have, over the years, over the decades, worked maybe just a little harder to come up with a realistic solution to get along with their neighbors. You know? If they knew that they weren't going to just jump up and, like, within days of stepping into some kind of mess, be able to say, by the way, we need $10 billion from you now, from the U.S., and they're going to get it. If they knew that they were going to be on their own to fend for themselves, they might have made some decisions along the way to try to find a way to get along with people. Now, look, sometimes you can't get along with people. Y'all know that in your personal lives. There's sometimes people that don't matter what you do, they're just not going to like you. But you can usually find a way to where you can mitigate that. You just don't have anything to do with them and they stay over there and you stay over here. You can minimize it. It's not what we're having. You cannot treat people like the Palestinians are being treated and that it's going to be okay and there's not going to wind up being some kind of conflict. I mean, you just can't treat people that way. But see, part of that is based on the fact that they know that no matter what they get into, the U.S. is going to get in the middle of it and give them a bunch of money. So they make decisions based on that, which is, I mean, it's a reasonable thing to do. If you know that the big guy is going to back you up, you're going to talk a lot more shit. If you're a little guy, if you're a small guy and you in the bar and having a few beers in you and you on your own, you might just kind of keep to yourself. But if you got like the guy who's considered the baddest dude in town drinking with you and hanging out with you, you're going to be tempted to talk a lot of crap because the big guy's backing you up and you figure everybody's looking at you because they're like, you know, they're looking at you like, man, I'd like slap this little sucker across the head. But they know they can't because the big dude's standing there by them. You see, it encourages bad behavior. It encourages bad behavior. If the U.S. did not have this track record, the U.S. instead had a track record of going, well, good luck with that. I mean, you know, we support you. Good luck. We got our own problems. You see, they would have made decisions. I'm talking about like if they turn around and did it today, yeah, it'd make a mess for them today because they're counting on that. I'm talking about if it had a track record, then decades ago, maybe, just maybe, I can't predict, but maybe the different governments, the different people running Israel over the years might have said, well, we need to figure out a way now. We got to do something with these people. We don't want to integrate them into our society because we want to have a nation of our people. So, you know, and that's understandable, but we need to come up with some solution where they have something. You know, we can't just shove all of these people into this condensed area right on our border, cut off their food, water, and medicine, and regulate how much they eat down to each individual person's calorie intake, stack them on top of one another, and then every once in a while just drop some white phosphorus on them, and everything is going to work out. I mean, that's a bad decision all the way around, any way you look at it. But it's enabled, you know. A lot of people will sit here and criticize Israel because of the way they treat the Palestinians. And that's true. But what you can't leave out is you have the enabler. You have the codependency. There's a codependency. You have that person that enables the bad behavior. And that's the U.S. They wouldn't treat these people like that if they didn't have the U.S. running around rewarding them with billions of dollars for observably bad behavior. They might have worked on coming up with a solution where you could sit down with these people and say, okay, we ain't giving you land back, but we'll give you this over here. You know, we've worked out a deal with some of these other countries. They're going to let you do this. We're not going to integrate you into our society because we want to have our people. We want to have a nation of our own. But let's work something out where y'all get something too. You know, and you might have created a situation. Look, if people are doing fairly well for themselves, they don't want to go out and fight. You know, I mean, they're not. But the opposite is true. When you stack them on top of one another and they've got nothing to look forward to, no hope, no nothing, then why not fight? People sit there and say, man, I've heard people, and they'll say, the Palestinians are so stupid, you see about they throwing rocks. Like, what you got to do with that? No, that tells you how desperate they are. They've got nothing left to lose. Go out there and throw a rock at a tank. So stupid is desperation. You've got nothing to lose. The U.S. enables this behavior. You can look at it all over. They're trying to create more of a problem than exists with Taiwan. That's been a little sketchy. The Ukraine thing would have never even got to this point. The U.S. has enabled this behavior. It's encouraged it. You know, they may not necessarily always light the fire, but they damn sure seem to always be there to pour more gas on it. It enables this behavior. If the U.S. had a pattern of saying it's none of our business, you wouldn't have all of these conflicts because people would be like, okay, well, we need to figure out some way to work this out. Well, if it's just figure out something where everybody gets a little something and we can all just go on with our lives, and the world would be a better place. But of course, we're not going to have that discussion. We're going to continue to have political theater. We're going to continue to have, you know, the Republicans accept all the premises laid down by the Democrats. And they're all going to do this political theater within the confines. They won't argue that Ukraine isn't our problem. They're going to argue that this much is too much. We don't need to give them that much. We'll give more of it to Israel or this or that, whatever, Taiwan, whoever is the cause du jour of the day. It's always within that framework. You know, and it's the way. And things keep getting worse. You just look at it always amazes me. They never want you to look at the results of what they do. The world is more unstable. They keep saying, well, America's influence is necessary. The world is just going to go up in flames. The world's going up in flames now because of what you're doing. Again, they want you to accept that premise. Both parties, everybody in the government is going to tell you the U.S. is the stabilizing force of democracy, of our values, and the international rules-based order. But you look at the results of what they're doing, and it's the gas on the fire. Everything they're doing is inflaming tensions, is inflaming, causing conflicts. They just invent more conflicts. And as always, the regular people are going to suffer. Not the people sitting up in an office somewhere, not the people sitting there, you know, collecting profits off of the blood of others. No. It's always going to be the regular people that are going to suffer. I guess at the end, that's all a part of our values, who we are in a democracy and the international rules-based order. We're going to get into the Christian specifics, and we're going to keep on rolling. Y'all know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. And we're going to jump back into the listener supporter mailbag real quick. GPD, I've read many so-called scholars saying that Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute, but was instead Jesus' wife, who had a daughter named Sarah. And this bloodline last exists today. Inform me, please. That's from Mr. T. Well, the experts. Yes, the experts. I always find it funny when these kind of stories pop up, and they do. They pop up from time to time. And it's always funny to me because it's like, it's always this recent thing. Scholars have discovered. These experts have discovered. And they haven't discovered anything. We've had thousands of years now of people who have devoted their lives to studying scripture, to studying letters and writings of the times, to study the life of Jesus. And all of these people that have spent thousands of years, these different monks, saints, and whatnot, some modern day expert has suddenly discovered. I remember hearing a story similar to this. It's been sometimes by several years back. And experts, scholars had discovered that while Jesus was never even crucified, in fact, he went on and lived and had a family and whatnot, because experts had discovered a grave. And this is where Jesus was actually buried. And because they found an inscription, and it says, you know, this is Jesus from Nazareth, son of Mary and Joseph. Well, there you go. Of course, what they leave out is all of those are extremely, extremely common names. If you went to a grave, it'd be like thinking you had found something because, you know, you found a grave marker that said, you know, here lies John, the son of Bob and Susan. I mean, those were really, really common names at the time. You know, they haven't discovered anything. All of these things always serve the same purpose, doesn't it? Let's look at what, you know, the experts say and what you've put forth here. And I'm going to go ahead and lump it in with what I just laid out, what I heard as well. Because they all put forth the same thing, which is to change your belief, which is to call your faith into question, which is to make you start saying, well, maybe that didn't really happen. Every Christmas, you'll hear experts will say, well, you know, or naysayers or whatnot will sit here and scoff and say, well, you know, Jesus' mother, Mary, was, I mean, come on, she wasn't actually a virgin. You'll hear so-called Christian scholars put this forth that it's time. I've seen articles come out every year around Christmas. You'll see these articles come out. Well, maybe not every year, but you know what I'm saying. And so-called Christian scholars will say it's time. You know, we move on from the story of the virgin birth because that's just not real. That's just, come on, we know now, we have the science, and we know that there's no way Jesus was born of a virgin. It doesn't mean that we don't still believe in Jesus and salvation, but we need to give up on the virgin birth. All of these things serve the same purpose. They whittle away, they tear away. When you see these people come in and subvert an organization, when they come in and subvert a church, they don't do it all at once. You see, they come in and they start chipping away at the pillars. You see, you give up on the virgin, you go ahead and turn your back on the virgin birth. Well, then you move on to the next thing. This is how we got to where we are today in clown world, isn't it? Remember the whole slippery slope. This is always the point. This is why these experts come out with these sort of things. We know for a fact Jesus never defiled himself with a woman. Well, you see, this chips away at that. Oh, it's okay, though. They were married. And see, it's even better because, you see, they had children and the bloodline exists today. Doesn't that make you happy, Christian? All you have to do then is give up on this idea that Jesus never defiled himself with a woman. It's a little thing. It's a little thing. See, we discovered a grave. Your story actually has a happy ending. Jesus never, he never was crucified. The whole thing was fake. You see, he was fake and he went on and lived a long, happy life and had children and was married and then buried. And see, isn't that good? You just have to give up on the idea that he died for your sins and was resurrected 3 days later. So you just have to give up on that little notion. You see the connectivity here, the same common theme. You just have to give up on your faith. You have to just give up on this little thing. As if we can still believe in Jesus, but we've got to quit talking about the virgin birth because that's just silly. We know we have the science now. That's not real. There's no way a man could be born of a virgin. That just doesn't happen. They always want to chip away because they do what they do everywhere else. They start by chipping at the pillars. They get in, they subvert an organization, and we just need to change this. We need to be a little more inclusive. We need to quit telling people and talking about this over here because that makes people uncomfortable. And then here you are, and pretty soon you've just abandoned everything. The scholars and the experts come in, and they find these sorts of, you ever notice, too, that they don't find, they never discover anything like more hardcore? Really, they never suddenly discover something, you know, like extremely hardcore and based. We found new scriptures that said, you know, Jesus gave this description of where all these people who are cast to damnation, where they're going to go and how bad it is. No, they never find anything like that. It's always something to whittle away, chip away at your faith. All you have to ask yourself is what's more likely to be correct? You know, if something like this were so, what would be more likely? Somebody, say, 100 years later coming out and writing about it and talking about it? Or some expert 2,000 plus years down the road popping up with oh, we've just suddenly discovered 2,000 plus years later. You know, these so-called experts. These so-called experts probably tell you that the masks work. Do not question the veracity of the idea of a bear and an eagle in a cage. But we know that 2,000 years ago, we've suddenly found something brand new. We've discovered something brand new because we're experts. And all you got to do is abandon your faith. I see these things pop up. And of course, I guess some people's faith is weak enough that they get all shaky. What if this is true? I see this stuff whenever I see these stories. Like I said, I guarantee you this Christmas, you're going to find, if you look hard enough, you'll find a story by a Christian scholar that'll say, we got to quit talking about the virgin birth. We got to move on from that. It's current year. And I see these sorts of things. I chuckle because this is for the very low tier. This is for very low tier people whose faith is just paper thin, if it exists at all. Don't let it sway you. Don't do it. We're going to continue along. People, speaking of people whose faith is paper thin, I'm going to pick some more on MCC. I'm going to pick some more on this modern day evangelical fundamentals, whatever you want to name. I don't know what name. You know the people I'm talking about. Rapture people. I was thinking the other day, rapture people, because you know how I feel about the whole rapture thing. This is another thing that is, historically speaking, a fairly modern discovery, this rapture, the rapture people. I was thinking the other day, you know, rapture people, they always, they're looking forward to getting their reward. You know, they're going to get raptured. They're going to get raptured, go to heaven, going to be driving their car, and then all of a sudden the Star Trek teleporter is going to go off. They're going to get beamed up to the Starship Jesus and get their reward. These people, they sit around and wait for their rapture reward. And I was thinking the other day, reward for what? You know, a reward is something you get for doing something. I mean, basically, rapture people seem as a whole to have this attitude that all they got to do is keep their head down and just wait it out. You don't go out there. They don't got to go out there and fight in the storm. They don't got to go out there and confront the enemy. They don't got to go out there and live in conflict with the world and struggle. All they got to do is get in their storm cellar. They just got to get down here and bury themselves in a hole and wait it out. And Jesus is going to show up in the... They're going to get beamed up to the starship heaven, the starship Jesus, and they're going to get their reward. Nobody, hear me now, nobody gets rewarded for not doing anything. Nobody. You know, when they say, when they put out the Crime Stoppers thing, they don't say, call this number for your free chance for a reward. No, you get a reward if they find and arrest and convict the suspect. Reward. When you go to work, when you get your reward, which is your paycheck, they ain't going to give that to you for not doing anything. I mean, you got to show up and you got to hopefully put forth some sort of effort. They're going to give you a check just for, but a lot of people seem to think they do that and they're always disappointed. They think that if they get hired, they get a check for just simply existing. Nobody gets a reward for not doing anything. You reward. Nitty silly, silly people. They believe they just hide. They just got to hide. They just got to wait it out. Just go about their daily life and do whatever and then suddenly they're going to get like a surprise teleport and get a reward. If you asked them, what are you going to get a reward for? Believing in Jesus. How did you demonstrate your belief in Jesus? Well, I hid and kept quiet. You get a reward for doing this. Your reward is... what you get as a result of your efforts, the efforts that you put forward. Just speaking of this type of people, I'm going to stay on this sort of people. I was reading a deal the other day. I don't even remember specifically what it was about. Of course, you're going to see more of this stuff with the conflict that's going on in the Middle East right now. And this guy wrote this big, long diatribe about, you know, typical stuff you would expect. And... revelation that they don't understand, you know, God's plan for the Jews because, you know, same name and in Israel, and see, this is revelation coming true because Israel and the Jews and I saw somebody in their comments, you know, they just said, well, I agree with you, but you know, these people don't really have like a bloodline relation to the ancient Israelites. And this guy responds to the comment and he says something along the lines of, well, you may be right on that. You may be right that they don't have a relation to the Israelites. But you see, still, we have a nation located in the same area and it's called Israel. So you see, this has to be directly related to the Bible because same name. And then the guy basically admits that he doesn't know why that would actually work, but you know, he waves that off with God is mysterious and we just can't understand. In fact, the whole article that this guy wrote, I don't know how many times he used the term Judeo-Christian to give you an idea of what we're talking about here. Judeo-Christian or Judeo-Christian beliefs or Judeo. These people can't ever tell you what the Judeo part is. You never notice that? You see these MCC people that just go on about the Judeo or Judeo-Christian values. You see, we have these Judeo. Well, what's the Judeo part? You ever notice it's always like this one-sided thing? You know, it's kind of like America's whole, these politicians come out and talk about, you know, our greatest ally, Israel, but they can't ever tell you what they do for us. You know, they'll sit there and tell you something like, if they tell you anything, they'll tell you something like, oh, well, you know, they share intelligence with us. You know, I mean, we can't tell you what they do for us, but trust us, we wouldn't even exist today if it wasn't for Israel. These MCC people, they can't ever tell you what the Judeo part of these so-called values actually are. What they actually are. sits there and says, oh, well, yeah, these people may actually technically not be related to the ancient Israelites, but it doesn't change the fact that we have a nation located in the same area that is called Israel. And so it has to be related. See, it's called Israel. God wouldn't allow that to happen. There's so much wrong with this. I read things like this and my mind just almost gets bogged down because there's just so much wrong with it. We can start with the fact that this is a person that doesn't understand. I mean, it's obviously a person's fairly well educated. They write somewhat articulately, but they don't even understand the basic concept of what a nation means. A nation. You know what a nation means. I don't have to beat it into y'all's heads because y'all know a nation is defined by the people. If you go to the nation in Africa of Nigeria, you are going to find it's, why is that Nigeria? Because those are Nigerians that live there. If you moved all of those people out and you moved a bunch of Irish in there, it would no longer be Nigeria because there would not be Nigerians. There would be a bunch of Irish there. A nation is the people. This is how it has always been defined. Oh, wait, but modern scholars, experts now say it's something else. Historically, always, a nation is defined by the people. That's how you know who lives there, is it's the people that live there. That plain and that simple. How do you not understand? How does somebody not understand this basic concept? A nation is not lines on a map or a government that is set up. It is defined by the people. So you have someone like this, and it says, well, it's definitely related to Israel of the Bible, even though Israel of the Bible, by this person's own admission, is referring, if you understand what the definition of a nation is, it is referring to the Israelites, the people from Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people. So how in the hell do you admit that these people really don't have any blood relation to those people who made that nation? But since they took this territory, drew lines around it, and gave it the same name, it's gotta be the same thing. I always laugh because I always say with these people's reasoning, if I had the money and I bought a giant ranch and, you know, what are you naming your ranch? Israel. It's the same thing. Same name. This is this lack of understanding. Because what I do find, and this is, you understand, you know, I always think of the whole Sun Tzu thing, you know, you have to know your enemy. If you know both your enemy and yourself, you need not fear the outcome of any, you know, ponder the outcome of any battle. I'm doing that off the top of my head. I probably got some of the wording wrong, but y'all know what I'm talking about. You've probably heard that. And what always amazes me is these so-called, you know, so many of these Christians, they don't understand themselves as far as their faith. They have very little understanding. What understanding they have is of a very simplistic, childish nature. I'm just telling it like it is. I ain't trying to be insulting or ugly to anybody, but it's simplistic and childish at best. Sometimes it seems they have no understanding of it at all. They're just hodgepodging different modern ideas and put a cross on it and call it Christianity. And they don't understand their enemy at all. You ask them, you know, okay, well, what do you understand about Satan? Well, he's really bad and he rebelled against God. No, I mean, do you understand anything about him? Do you understand why he does what he does? Why some angels sided with him? You know, his patterns of behavior. You need to understand what tactics. Look, this is your enemy. Of course, these are the same people that are sitting around thinking if they hide in a hole long enough, Jesus is going to teleport them up to the starship to get their reward. Heaven forbid they have to be a part of the combat, the spiritual combat. You need to understand what kind of tactics your enemy uses, and they don't. They don't understand themselves, and they don't understand their enemy. We're going to get into this some more, because this is an important point, and I think it's interesting. I hopefully y'all will find it interesting, too. And I'm going to say some things here that somewhat would probably consider controversial to people outside, you if these people we're talking about that are waiting to be teleported up heard this, it would just probably like rip their ears off so they wouldn't have to hear it. When you understand the enemy, Satan, you understand his patterns. He always does this stupid, I've got to use the right words here. He always does this like perverted imitation of what God does. You understand his patterns. He does like an imitation, a mockery of what God does, and he inverts it. It's always inverted. And by inverted, you know, there's always a lie element to it. But he always does this inversion. He always does this mimicry, this like copy of what God does, like mocking and mimicking what God does, and he inverts it. It turns it on its head. So much of the book of Revelation, which these people don't understand very much of, so much of the book of Revelation is an illustration of this, is telling you that Satan does this. You know, he sets up an antichrist. If you look at it, it's all a mocking, a mimicry, inverted mimicry of what God has done. It's like, okay, God has done this, but Satan does this copy, but inverts it. And when you understand this pattern, that this is how Satan does things, and he follows along in these patterns, it's really not too confusing, is it? Shall we just go ahead and say it? Set up a country in the same area as the ancient lands. Set it up in the same area of the ancient lands. Give it the same name. And instead of filling it with Israelites, it's filled with his people. We're in the controversial stuff. We got to say it. Instead of it being a nation in the biblical sense, the nation of Israel, it's in the same area. It's got the same name. Only instead of being stocked with the Israelites, it's stocked with Satan's people. You know, it's the chosen people. They always say the chosen people. Not the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, though. Even people admit this. They're not the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they're in the same area, in a country that they, a country, not a nation, that they hung the same name on. And they're the chosen people. See, do you see the inversion and the mimicry? It's a perfect example of the copying and the inversion. Now let that sink in, because I'm not throwing names out here. I'm not insulting people. We're laying it out what it is, what we know. These are not the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But yet you have this set up, same name. You see the inversion, that pattern. Pattern inversion. These people never understand. I mean, they really don't. I every time I see these people, it they go on about things they don't understand. Yeah, and they, look, I'm not. I'll be the first to tell y'all, there's a lot of stuff I don't understand. Y'all send me these notes and ask me to talk about something, I'll talk about it. If I don't know, I'm just gonna say I don't know. Sometimes I think I know and I'll give an answer. And then sometimes like 6 months later, we may revisit and talk about some more because I understand it a little better now. You know, I'm always learning. I'm learning just like all y'all listening. I just share what I believe I've learned, and hopefully I save y'all some trouble, get something out of it. That's how we grow. These people, they sit there and read these things. I talked about this on another show, but it's like these people are sitting around waiting for a literal mark, like for some government entity to show up and want to put a brand that says 666 on their hand or on their head. You know, they're waiting for a literal thing. What's a mark? You know, they're waiting for the mark of the beast. They're gonna make you get the mark of the beast. And they're sitting around waiting for a brand on their hand. They're going to be waiting a long time. Ain't nobody going to show up and brand a 666 on your hand. It's not going to be. It's not going to be. You're not going to get a brand. And if you're waiting for that, you're going to wind up going off, you're missing the whole point and going along with a whole bunch of crap and taking the mark of the beast because you're like, no, I haven't. I don't have a brand on my hand yet. What is a mark? What's another name for a mark? In those times and in times gone by, if they said, put your mark on this, what did it mean? Is another name for a signature. Right? Everybody waiting for a literal mark, like somebody going to come and brand you with a 666, or it's going to be, it's a signature. If you put your mark on there, it meant you put your signature. Because see, people back in the day didn't have like long signatures like we have now. They would make symbols, and this was my symbol. They still do it in Asian countries. You know, if you watch anime or things like that, you understand that in Asian countries, they don't always sign things. Like they'll bring a package and they'll go get their stamp. And they'll put their stamp on it. Well, that works the same as a signature because that stamp has this unique pattern that is registered to them. So when the stamp gets, but in the kings, like in Korea and stuff, back in the Joseon era, they had the royal stamp. And when they stamped it with the royal stamp, it was the same as the king said it because it had this unique pattern. And they could look at that and say, yep, that's the king's mark. The mark. It's the same as a signature. That plain and simple. Is the same as a signature. Now, what is the mark of the beast? Jesus told us what? He's a liar. He's a liar and a murderer. There is no truth in him. He will lie. That's all he does. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a deceiver. There is no light in him, only darkness. So what would be the signature of the beast? What would be the signature of Satan? Lies. The mark of the beast? The lies. So what would be accepting the mark of the beast? Going along with the lies, wouldn't it? Good, wouldn't it? And this takes, and you have to understand that it isn't one singular thing. It is the lies in general. You know, wear the mask. I mean, stand 6 foot. I mean, it just goes on and on. If it's a lie and you submit and go along, you're accepting the mark of the beast. And it's not a singular event. It's not a singular issue. It's not a singular topic. It is a lot of topics. This, see, it gets complicated. And people don't want complicated. They want something simple like, as long as I don't get the brand on my hand and I wait here in the bunker, I'll get teleported to Jesus. They don't want complicated. They don't want to have to, like, think. Like, use some reasoning skills because, oh my gosh, then I have to be on the lookout that I don't go along with a bunch of lies. Yes, it's not as difficult as you think. Why is it, do you think? Why is it that the lies so often are ridiculous, stupid, and absurd? You know, you sit there and say, because you look at the lies they promote and you think, you know, I could come up with a better lie than a more believable lie than what the experts are doing. Why are they coming up with this completely absurd gibberish and demanding everybody go along with it? Well, because you need to know it's a lie. That makes it better. See, it's one thing if somebody lies to you and it's believable and you just don't know any better and you're ignorant and you get tricked. And that's really not even on you. You just got tricked. But see, when it's so absurd and ridiculous in your face, when it's emperor has no clothes tier absurdity, and you can see with your own eyes, but you refuse to acknowledge the truth and instead go along with the lie with everybody else. See, that's because you know better. You've submitted. You have accepted what? A lie. You've accepted the signature. You've accepted the mark. And again, it's not a singular topic. It is a lot of topics. Why do you think we're constantly now being inundated with lies, with absurd narratives, with just continually more and more ridiculous and ridiculous things that we're told we're supposed to believe? Suddenly there's 6 million genders and you have to believe that or else. Of course it's absurd on its face. That's the point. It's no fun if you just trick people with a believable lie and they just don't know any better. But when it's ridiculous and absurd on its face, you see where we're going with this. You have to make a conscious decision to submit to accept it. You accept it. A lie. Which is what? The signature, another name for mark of the beast. See, it's not that complicated. Nobody's going to brand your hand with 666. This is why I believe truth seeking is so important, because it isn't always necessarily, you know, absurd. We get told lies when we're children. When you're children, you believe those who are older than you. And when you're a child and people tell you things that are not true and you just accept them because you're a child, you know, that you're supposed to trust your elders. But see, this is why you've always got to be constantly seeking the truth. Because maybe you've got some information back there when you didn't know any better. But as you seek the truth, when it becomes obvious that, hey, wait, that's not right. So this is the way you keep yourself away. You keep yourself constantly seeking truth. You're moving in the opposite direction. While everybody else is running around going along with the latest thing that is so important, even though it's absurd on its face. Just think, I could sit here and do an entire hour-long show. In fact, I guess in a way I do. On the absurd lies that we're told daily. You know? I mean, really, daily we're told these ridiculous, absurd lies. The Ukraine is a democracy, freedom country in that part of the world. They're anything but. You know? Zelensky he's leading the Ukrainian, you know, he is, you know, he's just so passionate and cares. The man is an actor. I mean, see the ridiculous lies? And he's not even Ukrainian. It's got to be an absurd lie. That's better. That's better because it means you have to submit and accept it. You submit and you accept and you go along with it. You're accepting that signature move. It comes down to it. He's a liar and a murderer. He's a liar. Go along with it. I would say, you know, that I don't think we talk about things that from different perspectives, whatever. But I do believe that the fundamental aspect, the fundamental path that Jesus Christ has given us, isn't that complicated. You know, if you follow and seek truth, if you follow and seek truth, all in all, you're going to be pretty good. You know, all in all, even if you get things right, remember, this is why we're under grace. If you get things wrong back here, you know, as long as you continue to pursue truth, you can take corrective action because we're under grace. We're under Christ. So we're able to take corrective action. You know, as long as you're seeking truth, you're going to be more or less okay. You're seeking to do the right thing. You're seeking truth. You're going to be all right. It's going to work out. Don't get all worried that you're going to somehow, you know, God's not looking to smack you down on a technicality. Look, if you're seeking truth, you're going to be okay. If you realize that you were going along with a lie for years, don't worry about it. As long as once you realize that you take corrective action, you're fine. This is why you're under grace. This is why it's such a great mercy that God showed such grace to us through Jesus Christ, because we have the ability to take then corrective action. It's not a big deal. Don't freak out when you get new information and be like, oh my gosh, I thought this was right and it's not. And now I realize the truth and I've been going along with a lie. Don't worry about it. Just take corrective action. Keep going. This is why. This is how you grow. Nobody starts off knowing it all. Nobody knows that better than me. Nobody starts off knowing it all. We're all learning. We're going to be learning up to the day we die, and then we're still not even going to know but a fraction of what there is to know and understand. It's okay. Things aren't that hard. Unless, then again, unless you're waiting to get raptured up to the Starship Jesus, then I guess it's really hard. I don't even know. Waiting around, avoiding the branding, waiting for Jesus to teleport you up. I don't know. Don't even know where you go from there. That's so far off. You so far out there with that stuff that I don't even know what to tell you. Anyway, we're going to wrap up. Hope you enjoyed the show, especially the Christian-specific segment. It's why I do it. I love this segment. Love having these discussions with you. I hope you got something out of all of it. I appreciate you coming by. And hopefully I'll see you right here again next week for the Parish of the Patriots.